Chapter 8. The Chase Begins. After midnight, Van Helsing was woken by a loud cry. He then heard footsteps rushing up the passageway. It was the night guard. Reinfeldt had been badly hurt. Dr. Seward and the professor rushed to the man's room. When they found him, he was lying on the floor, his face covered in blood. Both men immediately saw how terrible the situation was. It appeared that Reinfeldt's back had been broken, but no one could explain how such a thing had happened. As the professor carefully examined him, Reinfeldt spoke in a weak voice.
"I thought it was a dream," he said. "But it was not. It was grim reality. He came."
"Who came?" asked Seward.
"Like a mist. He would come to my window. He seemed to be just the man, but his eyes were so fierce, like those of a wild animal. At first, I would not let him in, even though I knew that he wanted me to. But he promised me so many things, living things. He promised me rats, thousands of rats, even dogs and cats. All that blood, all that life. So I began to let him in without thinking. He comes through the bars of my cell, as thin as moonlight. Then, when Mrs. Harker came to visit me with you, Dr. Seward, I saw that he had visited her as well. Her face was so pale. He wanted to visit her again tonight, but I was angry with him. Mrs. Harker had been so kind to me. I didn't want him to take life from her. So this evening, I was ready for him. When I saw that green mist coming towards my room, I fought with it. I fought with him. I know that I am a madman, but madmen are unnaturally strong. Even so, when I looked into his eyes, they burnt me like fire. A weakness came over me. I couldn't stop him. Then...
Reinfeldt's ordeal had been too much for him. His eyes closed for the final time. He was dead. Realizing that Mina was in great danger, Van Helsing and Dr. Seward rushed to her room. Quincy Morris and Arthur Holmwood were standing guard outside.
"Everything seems okay," Seward said, listening at the door.
"Can we really believe the words of a madman, Professor?"
"We cannot leave anything to chance," Van Helsing answered.
He tried the door, but it was locked from the inside. The professor instructed Arthur to knock down the door. When the men entered the room, they could not believe their eyes. A bright moon illuminated the Harker's bedroom and cast dark shadows across the walls. Mina was on her knees at the foot of the bed in her nightdress. Next to her stood a tall, thin man dressed in black. His shirt was undone, and he appeared to be clutching Mina to his breast. For a moment, it appeared as if they were lovers. However, there was blood on Mina's nightdress, and there was also blood running down the man's neck and onto his chest. He was pushing her mouth into the blood. When he saw the professor and the other three men, his eyes flashed at them with a terrible, wild fury. He bared his awful, sharp, pointed teeth and threw Mina upon the bed, and turned towards the men, ready to attack them. The professor, though, realized what was happening and took a crucifix from his pocket and raised it towards the count. The other men did the same. The vampire screamed and a mist filled the room. Moments later, all trace of Dracula had vanished. When they reached Mina, she spoke to them in a soft, weak voice.
"It was like a dream," she said. "The same dream that I had last night. A man with strange shining eyes appears over my bed. He cuts himself with his fingernails and forces me to drink his blood. Then he says to me, 'You have helped my enemies, but soon you will help me. One blood, one mind.' Is it true, Professor?"
Mina asked. There were tears in her eyes and the rest of the room was silent.
"Am I now tied to him forever? Oh, dear God, when I die, will I become..."
"My child,"
Van Helsing said. You are with friends, and as friends we will die to protect you. We were careless this evening, but we will not be so foolish again. Count Dracula thinks that he has won tonight, but he is wrong. Jonathan Harker had slept throughout his wife's ordeal. It appeared to the professor that he had been drugged in some way. They revived him with wet towels, but when he heard what had happened, he cried wildly and flung himself onto the bed, covering his face with his hands.
This is all my fault, he moaned. All my fault.
Eventually, Mina and Van Helsing calmed him, and Jonathan was able to tell them what had happened in London. Jonathan explained that he had paid the two men, Smollett and Snelling, and they had told him where the other boxes were hidden.
Then there is not a moment to lose, the professor cried. But first we must find a way to protect your wife, Mrs. Harker, whilst we are gone.
I am coming with you, Mina said. I am not afraid.
The five men and Mina arrived at the address which the two men had given Jonathan. Inside, they discovered all but one of Dracula's boxes. They destroyed them all, but Dracula was nowhere to be seen. During that night, the men guarded Mina carefully. In the morning, Dr. Seward examined her. How do you feel? He asked.
Very tired, Mina answered. I sleep so poorly because I have so many dreams. In my dreams, I can always hear water, and I seem to be on a boat.
The doctor turned to Van Helsing. Do you think it is possible, Professor, that she can read the Count's mind in her sleep?
It is very possible indeed, answered Van Helsing. It appears that Count Dracula is returning to his home via the sea. But how can we know what ship he is actually on?
What does it matter? Mina asked. He has left the country. He won't trouble us any more.
The professor took Mina's hands in his own and spoke very carefully to her. My dear, dear child, a few weeks ago, that would have been the case. But I am afraid that you have drunk the vampire's blood. And if we are to save your soul, we must destroy Count Dracula once and for all.